You know, God's word is rewarding enough. I could come to Sunday school, and if nobody were here, I could continue speak to myself. But it's so much funner when you're here. It's just so much more better when we can do it together. And I want to thank you for the opportunity to do that each and every week. And thank you for the note, the card, and the gift. I appreciate that very, very much. Well, I just want to tell you, I hope you have a good Christmas. And Saturday's kind of a weird day for Christmas for me, but it's just different, isn't it? It's just different, but it's right here upon us. And this morning, I don't always do this, but this morning I have a Christmas-themed lesson. And if you would take your Bible and go over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, you know, Brother Chris usually has a Christmas message, and then we have the cantata, so sometimes I just don't even go here, but I was reading John 1, and some things popped out at me, and so we're going to be reading John 1, verses 1 through 18, which is often called the prologue to the book of John. That's kind of like the introduction to the book of John. In other words, what John says in the first chapter in these 18 verses, he goes on in the entire book and he demonstrates and he exhibits, he displays a picture lesson, if you will, of what he says in the entire book of John, what he says in these 18 verses. And so for a few minutes this morning, I want to give it sort of a subtitle since it's the Sunday before Christmas. And I want to call it Christmas Presents from God Unwrapped in John 1. Now, before we read, Valerie and I, when we had little kids, enjoyed that time of Christmas when you get to watch your kids open presents. You remember that? And so the older they get, the less you can get for them and afford, and the less joy it seems they have, you know. So when they're kids, when they're little, they really enjoy opening these presents. And at times we had plenty of money and got lots of presents. In other years we didn't have much money and just got a few. But one thing I noticed is during those years where we didn't have much money, sometimes we would get something that maybe had two or three pieces to it. And we would wrap each piece individually, and it seemed like you have more. Kid didn't know any difference, and it worked out great. I remember Landon was about 3 or 4, and we got him this Hot Wheels garage, 2-story, and it had a place where the mechanic would work on the car and a little car wash that was pushed through, and then it had a little elevator that raised the car up when you cranked it, you know. Anyway, it came with a wrecker, a towing truck, and then a bunch of cars, and so we wrapped each of those individually, you know, and we would always give the kids an opportunity to pick whichever present they wanted to open. And, of course, when it came to his turn, he got the big one because this was a pretty big box. And he opened it up, and he was all excited, and he was looking at this thing. And he jumped up and ran to his room. And I think Valerie said, "Where are you going, Landon? We're not finished." And, well, he was going to go get his cars. And he got his cars and slowly starting to try to put each one on that little ramp. And guess what? It didn't work. They wouldn't fit because it was a different width, and he was disappointed about that. But we said, "Oh well, we'll get you some. You know, maybe we can get you some this week or something, you know." And he goes to his second present, opens it, and it's the tow truck. So he gets his little cars and he tries to use it with the wrecker, and it doesn't work because there's no little hole under the car where the hook would connect. And so his third present was socks. He tossed that one aside. I think his fourth present was a little package of underwear. He tossed that one aside. But when he got to the fifth present, it was the package of cars. And boy, he lit up because the presents, all of a sudden, present one and present two meant something. Well, when we look at these presents from John chapter 1 from God, they all mean something and they're all very useful. But when they're combined together, we see, my friends, that we are not wasting our time this morning. we see that we serve a God who had the wisdom, he had the foresight to send his son to this earth at this time that we celebrate as Christmas, and gave us a chance to get to know him. Can you say amen to that? Let's read. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now, as you know, this book was written by the Apostle John, who was the son of Zebedee and Salome, and the brother of James. And one of the things that we know about the book of John is its ability, the entire book has an ability to teach really deep things of God, profound truths, but in a very simple way. There's a printing ministry in East Tennessee that we supported when I was growing up, and when there was a time when the economy went south and they did not have the money to do the entire Bible. They would print Bibles and they would send them off to missionaries all over the world. Great ministry. And so there was a year or two when there was no money. There was not enough money to print the entire Bible. So they printed what? The Gospel of John. Such profound truth in such a concise and simple way. In this book, John tells us and teaches us about the deity of Christ, meaning that Jesus Christ is God. God the Father is God the Son. Now, we have finite minds, don't we? We can't comprehend that because we don't understand that. But this book is very clear about the deity of Christ, and yet it emphasizes his humanity while he was on the earth. Let me give you an example. John 16, verse 28 says, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. So that kind of describes the deity of Christ, his relationship where his Father is, coming from him and going to him. And yet, John 4, 6 describes the humanity of Christ in a very, very clear way. This was at the well talking to the woman of Samaria, and the Bible says, Jesus therefore being wearied with his journey. That tells us he was human. He was a man. And yet both of these come together. They're done for one reason, and John gives us that reason, Valerie, in John 20, verse 30. The very last two verses of the book I want you to read with me. John 20, verse 30. As soon as she gets there, we'll read it. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. In verse 31, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And so that's what John's all about. The Apostle John spent this entire time writing this book so people would believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is deity. The word believe is used 100 times in this book. And in the other three gospels, it's used under 40 times. Isn't that amazing? He wants us to believe. So the Gospel of John is a very practical book, and it's a very simple book. And the other three gospels, as they give the miracles and the parables and the things that Jesus says, they give them in great detail. John tends to be shorter on the detail, but then he gives profound truths of what they mean. Like when he fed the 5,000. The story's not very long, but then he spends chapters talking about how Jesus is our bread of life, how he is what we need to sustain us. So in the Gospel of John, we find a whole lot of information, and we find a whole lot of things that concern Christmas. And so verse number 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now I want you to see there are four statements there, and they are emphatic. They're very declarative. Even though we may not know all the details of what they mean, it's very clear that in the beginning was the Word. Now what's the Word? That's not easy for us to understand at all, but we know that the Word is the Word of the Lord. It's God's Word. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because he is God's Word. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That tells us he's separate and distinct from God. Okay, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he's separate and distinct, but yet he is God. And the same was in the beginning with God. That Word was so reverent and holy in the Old Testament that word was never pronounced, Jehovah. That it was never pronounced in the whole Old Testament out of respect and honor to what it was. But if we follow the natural progression of these four statements, we find out what the word is, and it says, in the beginning. Well, when's the beginning? I don't know. We don't know. You say, well, maybe it was the time of creation. No, but because when God created this world and the galaxy and the universe, the Word already existed. And we cannot put a date on the beginning. Here's what's interesting about this verse is that word was right there. In the beginning was the Word. Like Brother Chris says, I don't know Greek, but I have books written by people who do. And if you look up that word in those books, there's a sense of continued action. It was not a one-shot deal. In the beginning was the Word. In the events of this verse, the action was already taking place. It was already reoccurring. And so we don't know when the beginning was, but it was in the beginning. It was in God. It was in the beginning that God decided to send his Son to this place to be our Savior. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He's separate and distinct. And the Word was God, still God, although separate and distinct. The same was in the beginning with God. And this is what I want you to see. He's telling us that in the manifestation of his Son, God came to us. That's our first Christmas present right there to unwrap. God, think of this now, okay? God came out of eternity. When was eternity? I don't know. It goes forever. God came out of eternity, Reese, to meet me and you. And Linda and Albert and Judy. Merry Christmas. He thought us worthy enough. He loved us enough that he came out of eternity to meet us. That's our first Christmas present. Let's continue. Verse 3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now that's our second Christmas present right there. In finding a way to send his son to us, he created this world, this galaxy, and the entire universe. What did he do after he created the world? He created man. And so begins the relationship of man and God, way back in the book of Genesis. So that's our second Christmas present. Our third Christmas present is found in verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now this verse isn't just telling us that God was alive in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. Rather, it's telling us he was life. He is life. The Bible's very clear about telling us that before we're saved, we're dead. Some of us may feel dead all the time, you know, you never know. But the Bible's very clear about telling us that before we're saved, we're dead. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, and we're all born a sinner. Paul told the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. That's our third Christmas present. God's gift of life is found only in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. You say, well, that's not fair. What about all these other religions that don't believe in Jesus being the Son of God and being God himself? Well, we're just going off what God's word says. And it says, he is life. He is life, and we need life. It's very clear. We don't have time to go through them. But there's so many verses about darkness being associated with those people who have not believed in his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John 12:46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness. Look back at our verse 4. There's two things in verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Not only were we dead before we're saved, we're in darkness. We're in darkness. And the light shineth in darkness, in verse 5, and the darkness comprehended it not. Isn't that a shame? It's important for us to understand that if we don't want to live and walk and abide in darkness, then we have to come to Jesus. A quick analogy. Let's think about the sun. The sun gives light to the whole world. The sun brings light that we need for life. But 4 or 5 years ago, our whole family, we drove to Carlsbad Caverns. And you know what? When we get down to the bottom of the caverns, Albert, there's no sun. If you want to take and enjoy the benefits of the sun, you got to come out of those caverns and you got to go toward the light. And the Bible says that all men were born in darkness, and they were born dead in trespasses and sin. And if they want to take part of that life, and if they want to live in that light, then they've got to come toward the light. That's the message. Well, you know, Uncle Henry, he's a good man, and he's never accepted the Lord, but he's got so many good deeds. No, that's not what God's word says. That's works, and that don't work. Works don't work. Coming to the light and coming to the life is what gets us out of our darkness. John 3:19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. That's a very, very sad verse, when people and when men love darkness rather than light. That's Christmas present number 4. God brings his light into our lives when we repent and believe that he died for our sins, and when we trust in him. Without the word of God showing us that, there is no light. And I want to get off on a rabbit trail for just a minute. That's how you get saved. But you know, even as you live as a Christian from day to day, God's word still keeps us out of the darkness. It's an ongoing principle. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I'm just saying, if you're not in God's word, whether reading it, studying it, listening to it, making sure you're in church and hearing it taught and preached on by your pastor, then there's no way to walk in the light, because you don't have the light. This is the light. And then he starts off, I got to move on, in verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Hey, isn't that an encouraging verse? You can take some of these verses and go to the biggest scum of the earth, if there's a way we could find out who that is. And you can open your Bible and go to this verse and say, hey, listen. The Bible says, and if you believe the Bible, and we believe the Bible, that Jesus Christ is the true light, and he lights every man. He's capable of lighting every man that comes into this world. That's you, bud. That's you. No matter who you are, it's not something that gets passed down. You can't inherit it. You can't buy it. But when you accept the free gift of grace in Jesus Christ, you get it. What a deal. Verse 10 says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Now, that's still, again, one of the greatest tragedies and one of the most discouraging verses, is that he did all this for us, and yet so many of us refuse to accept him. And then one of the most beautiful verses in all of God's word is verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Man, this verse should encourage us and give us confidence that nobody has to be without the light that Christ gives. That word power there means right. As many as receive the life and the light that Christ gives, we have the right to become the sons of God. And then he says in verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You say, well, what are those, all those things there? Which were born not of blood just means the natural generation, or the natural progression from generation to generation. We watched a little bit of a movie this weekend about royalty in England. And when that baby's born into that royal family, and that is not like Christianity. You cannot be born a Christian because you're in a Christian family. John says, which were born, these people that trust the Lord and those that become the sons of God, they're not born of blood. There's no natural generation from this time to this time. There's no titles when you're born. And it says, not of the will of the flesh. That's effort. Well, I'm going to work hard, Linda. I'm going to try to become the sons of... No, you can't become a son of God by your own effort. And then he says, nor of the will of man. What's that? Well, that's just... that's education. That's training. That's somehow learning how to do it. He says, no, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. You see, nothing short of God's Spirit. And you say, well, why are you adding that in there? Well, because in John 4, when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, what did he say? He says, God is a spirit, and those that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. And so we find that we're born into God's family, not of our generation, from generation to generation, not our self-effort and not our training and not our education, but God's Spirit places us into his family. By the way, that's the fifth Christmas present. Salvation is free to all who will ask, and it's made possible by God's Spirit. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh. That means He was born flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They tell us that that word dwelt right there in verse 14, it literally means to pitch a tent. God literally pitched a tent so His tent could be by our tent. Sound crazy? Well, the word tent is used many times in Scripture to talk about this body. Think about a tent. It's temporary. The wind blows it around. It leaks, you know? And that's what our bodies do. The wind blows us around and it's far from perfect, and sometimes we leak, you know? And so it's just a tent. And here, verse 14 says, John says, the Word was made flesh or born flesh and dwelt among us. God pitched a tent, literally, to be with us. And when He came among us, we saw or we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They tell us that word full right there means you just couldn't add any more. So even though He was God, and even though He was man at the same time, just because He was man doesn't mean He was just 70% God. No, He had the whole realm of deity inside Him. And He dwelt among us. What a thought. The God of creation comes out of eternity and meets us where we are and pinches His tent right next to our tent so He could teach us about Him. That should give you chills in your spine. That's what Christ did. Hebrews 2:16 says, for verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. That God of all creation, of all eternity, took on the seed of Abraham, became a man, and pitched a tent next to us. Merry Christmas. That's the Christmas message. That's the message found in John. I'm losing my time. Verse 15 says, John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. But he that cometh after me is preferred before me, and he was before me. And of His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. What's that mean? That means that when we believe, nothing else is needed. We get, the Holy Spirit provides anything and everything that we need when we're saved. God's Spirit comes into our life, and if we allow God's Spirit to control our life, He makes us what He wants us to be. And that's the sixth Christmas present from John 1. When we come to Christ and rely upon Him, there's nothing else that's needed because God's Spirit does it all. And verse 17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. I looked up that word bosom. I've got a set of commentaries that were given to me, Vincent Word Studies. And this is what Vincent Word Studies about that word bosom right there. It's essentially a relationship of love. The figure being used of the relation of husband and wife, of a father to an infant child, and of the affectionate protection and rest afforded to Lazarus in paradise. Remember, the Bible says Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham. It's a love relationship. And then he goes on and he says, it's an ever-active relation, an eternal going forth and returning to the Father's bosom by the Son, repeatedly, over and over. So Christ is in the bosom of God the Father, and then it says, He hath declared Him. If you look those words up, it literally means he led him out into the open. You say, well, what's that mean? God led his son out into the open. Here's what it means. Here God comes out of eternity past, the God who made all this that we have in our life, the universe, the galaxies, this world, and he took upon himself flesh. And he brought God out of the open in the form of his son. Why? So that men can know him. That's what happened in Jesus. Merry Christmas. That's what happened in the Son of God. And first he brings him over to Bethlehem where he's born. And then he sends him to Nazareth for 30 years, and he raises him up till he's about 30, and then he starts his 3.5-year ministry, and he does all this so we can know who God is. Not only when we're saved, but when we live as a child of God from day to day. When we have the confidence that the Son of God is not only just the Son of God, but he's the Word of God. And when we take the time to go into this book right here and spend great effort and spend great time and spend whatever kind of effort that's needed in our life to stay in this Word, we're getting the real deal. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Merry Christmas. That's our 7th Christmas present from this book. So yeah, it's not a typical Christmas lesson, but it fits. Because at Christmas, we celebrate what God did in taking the God who made all of eternity, and he brings him out into the open so that we can know him. I love that message. And so it should give us confidence that when we come to God's house and we come to a place that exalts the name of Christ and that spends time in God's Word, not only are we not wasting our time, but that's where we need to be. And aren't you glad to be here this morning because of that? I am too. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the message.